First Thessalonians chapter 4 again. And let me read the passage, but I'll only read the end of chapter 4. First Thessalonians 4, verses 13 through 18, where Paul says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him." And let me just point out something that I haven't pointed out. I've been through these verses, but I haven't pointed out. This text clearly indicates that Jesus Christ is God. Because God's going to bring those who sleep in Jesus with him, and the God who said to come here is who? Jesus.
Exactly.
Okay, going on. "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain," and I mentioned that, but I'll talk a little more about that, or I'll mention that again. "We which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep." And that means we'll not go before them.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what that word here, prevent, means. "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them," that is the dead who've been raised, "caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." And then we are given this command, and it is a command. "Wherefore, because of this truth, comfort one another with these words." Now, I'm still on the details of the rapture, and I will mention again why I use that word, because some people don't like it, and I like to be a stick in people's eye. I just enjoy that.
It's true.
It just makes me happy. When people don't like something, if it's true, and it's kind of like Don Fortner once said, somebody, you know, people that hate what I preach are going to either hate it or love it. Because there is no middle ground on this thing. And I'm going to keep preaching it until somebody kills me or I die. You know? Because, and this is the truth. Though there are those who misrepresent this truth. Okay? There are people who preach the rapture trying to scare people to get saved.
Oh, yeah.
This is talking about comfort.
Exactly.
There's no fright here. There's no trying to scare people with this doctrine. This doctrine is for God's people and God's people only.
Exactly.
The next chapter deals with those who are based, well, it deals with God's people as well, but the next chapter goes on to deal also with the lost.
Yes.
Okay? And remember, the first part deals with the lost, but all it says about them is what? They have no hope.
Exactly.
That's what it says. They don't even have hope, Joe. Now, many of them may have a false hope, but it's not the hope of God. Now, let me briefly review. We've looked at the events pertaining exclusively to believers, and that's what this event is for. This is not some general resurrection of all men at the end. The Bible does not teach such. There are people who say it does, but it doesn't. They read into, it's called exegesis, they read into the text what's not in the text.
Exactly.
And Paul is quite clear here. Two types of people are mentioned, and they're all the elect of God. There are those who sleep in Christ. Okay, that's basically, so there's no misunderstanding. Those who have been regenerated and converted, and they have died. That's what he's talking about. That's those who sleep in Christ. It's spoken of being they're dead. Concerning them being dead, it's the body that's considered dead. Not them.
Right. Exactly.
Because they're with Christ, and he's going to bring them back with him.
Yes,
and then their body is going to be raised new. We see that in 1 Corinthians 15. So we have two types of people, but they're all regenerated, converted people. There are those who have died before Christ comes back. There are those who are not just remaining. Of course they're remaining if they haven't died, right?
Yeah.
But he says those who are alive and remain.
Yes, sir.
Because it's only those who are alive in Christ that's going to be changed and raised.
Yes, sir.
This is not a resurrection and transformation and rapture of all mankind. They're not. All mankind is not going to be raptured into heaven. One day the dead shall stand before God, small and great. But that's what it calls them there, the dead. And then the dead will be judged according to their works. And I want nothing to do with that. I don't want God judging me according to my works. Because if he does, my works have come up already short. Because scripture says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. My best deeds are as filthy rags in God's sight. When it comes to acceptance before God. Now that doesn't mean that God does not accept that which he works within his people. But even that doesn't make us acceptable to God, Joe.
Exactly.
It's not what God does to us that makes us acceptable to God. It's what God Almighty did through Christ for us that makes us acceptable to God.
Yes,
God declares us to be acceptable in his Son. We are, as Ephesians 1 says, accepted how? In the Beloved.
Yes, sir.
So here Paul is talking about the events pertaining exclusively to believers. Remember, just to hit the highlights, one, we need to be informed about this. There are some who evidently, they believe, they may even believe in grace. Free, sovereign grace. And it's sad that we have to delineate that. When we say grace, people ought to know what you're talking about. But they don't. So we say free sovereign grace or free reigning grace because they think we believe the same grace that everybody else believes in.
Exactly.
What we believe in is grace. But it doesn't matter. There are those who even preach grace, yet I have never heard them preach on this truth. But I'll tell you what, this truth has to do with our salvation.
Yes, sir.
Because the scripture is quite clear, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable.
Exactly.
The resurrection of believers and the transformation, something that wasn't taught in the Old Testament. Now, it was indicated.
Yeah.
Because remember, who was it? One of the prophets? Enoch was one. Remember Enoch? What happened? He didn't die. He didn't see death. He was translated. And there was another one, was Enoch or one of them, or Elijah, wasn't it? There was another one that happened to. But that doctrine is never delineated in the Old Testament. And that's why Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, "Behold, I show you a mystery." Not something spooky, but something that wasn't clearly revealed before. Paul's saying, now I, through the Word of God, am revealing this, that there's going to be a group of believers who are still remaining when Christ comes back. We're not all going to die. Now, all of us might die, but not all believers will be dead in the grave or wherever when Christ comes back. But we're not to be ignorant of this truth. This truth is to be preached because it's a part of our salvation. Joe, if God doesn't change me, this has been great and it's been glorious. But if the end is simply not to exist any longer, what value is it? You see, the point is Jesus Christ. Not only, Joe, does he own us as Lord, but he purchased his people with his blood.
Amen.
That's one of the reasons why we're told not to sorrow for believers who've went on before us. Because it is the ultimate goal.
Yes, sir.
This is not the goal. Canaan land ain't the goal.
Exactly.
Canaan land was full of fights and battles and war and struggle. And failure as well as victories.
What? Yeah.
The goal is to reach absolute peace.
Yes.
Now they could have reached absolute peace in Canaan had it not been for their depravity.
Exactly.
But because of our depravity, we will never reach peace in this life. That's why this event has to take place.
Yes, sir.
So we're to be informed of this. We're not to sorrow for those who went on. We do, but there's no need. When we do sorrow, it's always a self-centered sorrow. It's because of what we miss. Let me tell you, the ones that've gone on is not missing anything.
That's exactly.
They've gained everything.
Yes.
They've gained everything. And now the next part, that is verse 15 and 16. I said believers are given specific details about our family who've gone on before us. And we looked at that. And as Paul said in the first part of verse 15, this is the Almighty's truth. This is not Paul's speculation. This is not Paul surmising what might be. He says, "For this we say unto you," what? "By the word of the Lord."
Yes.
Now somebody says, "How can you trust that?" I can't help but trust that. It's what God's made. This is not me trying to prove with empirical evidence what is true and what is not true.
Exactly.
Faith doesn't need empirical evidence. All faith needs is the Word of God. And somebody say, how do you even know it's the Word of God? I can't help it. I can't help but believe that. That's what God's made me to be by faith.
Oh, yeah.
I can't help it, Joe.
Exactly.
And if that makes me ignorant in the world's sight, so be it. They've said a whole lot worse things than that about me.
Exactly.
And some of them are true. You didn't know that, did you? Yeah, some of them are true. So when they say Walter's this or that, you can probably mark it up. Yeah, they hit it right on the head. That's what I am. In me.
Yeah.
But in Christ, I'm a horse of a different color.
Exactly.
In Christ, I'm a horse of a totally different color. Paul says this is God's truth. And let us remember, the Apostle Paul was given direct revelation by God.
Yes, sir.
He was taken up into the third heaven.
Yeah.
And taught by God. He was even allowed to see things that he wasn't allowed to pass on to us.
Exactly.
He said, the words fail me to even pass some of these things on to you. Nevertheless, he says, this is the Almighty's truth. And in the middle part of the verse, he says, some believers, that is the living. That's another way to put it. We who are alive and remain. And it's almost redundant if you think of this merely as physical life. It would be a redundancy. It is those who are alive and remain means, Paul is saying here, those who are in Christ. Those who are spiritually alive and still alive physically.
Yes.
Okay, both. Now that lets us know two things. It is for only a certain group of people. Those who died in Christ and those who live in Christ and remain. Right?
Yes, sir.
It's not for everyone.
Exactly.
God never purposed this for everyone. You see, what some people don't understand is God purposed some people to go to hell.
Exactly.
And we'll see that in 2 Thessalonians when Paul's talking about what happens immediately after this event when a certain individual comes upon the scene. He says this, God shall give them strong delusion. God shall. Not the devil's. It's not even God lets the devil do it. People like to put it that, well, God don't really do it. Well, that's not what it says. It says, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie. Why?
Yeah. Exactly.
That they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness.
Sorry.
God purposed it that way. Yeah. See, everything, God doesn't do anything willy-nilly. God's not coming up with things. God's already determined everything He's going to do and everything that's going to happen to mankind. Every breath we take is given us by God.
Yes.
And we don't give up the ghost.
No.
The Spirit, we don't give it up. It's taken from us.
Yes, sir.
Christ is the only man that was ever able to give up the ghost.
That's right.
We, us, it's taken from us. And who does that? Not the devil. Who does that? Who kills men?
Yeah.
When men die, how do they die? Who kills them? God kills them. And God says so. He said, I kill. I make alive.
Amen.
Well, somebody says, that ain't obeying the Ten Commandments. God ain't under the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments are for us, not for Him.
Exactly.
He told us to love Him with all we are. Didn't He?
Yeah.
Why? Because He deserves it. Somebody says, I don't like that God. Well, what else don't you like about God?
Exactly.
You know? Somebody says, I don't believe that's the Word of God. Well, what else don't you believe is the Word of God?
Yeah.
It means exactly what it says. This is the Almighty's truth, and some believers are going to be, that is, everyone who remains, if they're a believer, a true. Now, we talked about what it means to be a believer as well, right? I'm not going to go back through that, but just being a believer doesn't cut it.
Yeah.
It doesn't cut it. As a matter of fact, that passage, and let's just turn there, 2 Thessalonians. The one I read to you, or quoted a couple things to you from. And let me just read the whole chapter and make a couple statements from it, and then we'll, God willing, we'll look at it in detail, verse by verse, later. But look at what he says, verse 1 of chapter 2, 2 Thessalonians. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but then he clearly states what he means. What event he's relating here with the coming of Christ. Because remember, Christ is not just going to come. A big conflagration is going to happen. Everybody's going to be killed, and everybody's going to stand before God and be judged. That ain't the way it happens. That's what some people teach, but that's not the Bible. It's not God's word. Paul says, I beseech you, brethren, by the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together unto him. What's he talking about? He's talking about chapter 1 Thessalonians, chapter 4, verses 13 through 17. That's our gathering together unto him. That ye be not soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter. This is the different modes in which men were putting forth this error. There were some people trying to teach, the day of the Lord is on us. Well, he says that the day of Christ, that word would be better translated, Lord. But I got no problem with it being Christ, because I know who Christ is.
Exactly.
It's the Lord. And I know who the Lord is.
Yep.
It's Christ. And there are those who try to make a big deal. Well, it's not the day of Christ, it's the day of... Let me tell you, any day that has to do with God's wrath is the wrath of the Lamb that's going to be.
Yeah.
He's the judge of all the earth.
Yes, sir.
All judgment and all mercy flow forth from Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone.
That's it.
Look, that by spirit, by word, nor by letter, as from us, that the day of Christ is at hand. And the word at hand is a confusing interpretation. It should be that it is upon us. That's the meaning of the Greek word there. That the day of the Lord, the day of Christ has happened. And these people will say, well, wait a minute. Paul wrote to us first in the first epistle. And Paul said, we're going to be taken out before the day. Right. Our taking out is the initiation of the beginning of the day of the Lord.
Yes, sir.
But some people will say, no, it's already happened. And Paul said, no, I beseech you, brethren, by our Lord's coming and our gathering together, that ain't true.
Exactly.
Based upon the fact, Joe, now if we're going to be gathered together sometime after it happens, Paul's words have no meaning there.
Yeah.
Do they? Now there are those who teach that believers who are alive will go through the day of the Lord. There are some who believe the church or believers will be raptured out in the middle of the 7 years tribulation. Scripture doesn't teach anything like that. The Scripture teaches, Paul's clear, Christ comes back into the air, bringing those who sleep in Him with Him. They are raised first. We're caught up. Anybody who's a believer, born-again believer, living and remaining at that time shall be changed. Both will be caught up into the air to be with the Lord. And then what happens? The day of the Lord commences.
Yes, sir.
But Paul says, don't believe that the day of the Christ is at hand. Why? Based on our gathering. We're still here.
Yeah.
Right? The church... And that's the visible manifestation of believers still being here. The church. We're still here. He said, let no man deceive you by any means. For, except there come a falling away first. It doesn't say that day shall not come. Strike that out. It's not in there. It has no place in there. For, except there come a falling away first. And the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Now he's not talking about Christ coming and gathering us, but the day of the Lord. That won't happen until the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Now, here's the question. I'm not asking for a name. That's not what I mean when I ask. Who is this? Is this an individual or is it a group of individuals? What does it say? It says the man of sin. That's what? Singular. It means one individual. There are those who teach this man of sin, this son of perdition, is the papacy. And all the popes down through all the ages. That ain't what that says. If you're going to interpret Scripture like that, we can make it mean whatever we blessed well want it to mean.
Exactly.
Can't we? No, it says the man of sin, and it's not just one place, Joe. It says the son. Not the men of sin. Not the sons of perdition. The man of sin. The son of perdition. Who opposeth and exalteth what? Himself. Not themselves. Right? Himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Somebody said, well, that temple don't exist. It will. Because God's book says so.
Yeah.
Now I know most professed Christians would probably give money if somebody started to build that thing. There's no need for you to do that.
Exactly.
There's no need. It'll get built.
Yeah.
If God has to use the reprobates to do it.
Yes, sir.
And probably that's who's going to build it, is the reprobates. But nevertheless, this reprobate shall sit in that temple. Why? Because that's what it says. I am that responsive to Scripture. I believe it means what it says, unless it gives you a reason to think otherwise. When the plain sense makes sense, seek no other sense. Now, it doesn't matter whether you can make sense of how it could happen. How could Christ, how could God become a man?
Exactly.
Huh? Because God says, I'm going to do it, and He's done it. But look, showing Himself that He is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? Now let me tell you, these people out here said, you don't need, just preach the 5 points. Let me tell you, if you're just preaching the 5, you're leaving out 1 point of salvation. That's the resurrection and the catching up of the saints. Well, that's as much a part of our salvation as the rest of it is.
Yes, sir.
Well, I could go on with that, but that's... Remember you not that when I was with you, and here's a point to think. How long was Paul in Thessalonica?
Yeah.
Just for a few weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Yet he seemed it important enough to talk about what? The future.
Yes, sir.
Of God's people and of Christ's coming to them. So when you hear a man somehow trying to take or suppose as though he's taking the higher road, because I'm preaching the gospel, I'm preaching the 5 points, he's left one out. Hadn't he? He's left one out. As a matter of fact, the disciples in the book of the Acts weren't preaching. I'm not saying they're denying it, but their major thrust was the resurrection of Christ.
Yes, sir.
Not His death and burial, but His resurrection. That if He was raised, David, that lets you know He died somewhere or another, doesn't it?
Exactly.
That goes right along with it. But a person can die and not be raised.
Exactly.
But only those who were raised were dead, right? The whole point is this. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. I don't care what these other preachers say. They're wrong. Even if they're my brothers in Christ, they're wrong. This is profitable. Now, and now ye know what withholdeth, that He may be revealed in His time. Here's this individual spoken of again as what? An individual. And Paul says, you know what's holding. Now, all kinds of speculation about, is this the Spirit? I'll tell you what, this is God Almighty. You can put it that simply. God Almighty is withholding right now because it's not the time. We know why ain't this happened yet? Because God ain't purposed it to happen yet. He's purposed it, but He ain't purposed it to happen yet. When He purposed it, it'll come like a mighty rushing flood.
Yes, sir.
It won't be able to be stopped. He says, now here's the point, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. You see, the Antichrist will come, but the spirit of Antichrist is already here.
Yeah.
And the spirit of Antichrist is in people.
It's
not some ethereal thing, David, out there floating around. We're not even talking about the demons who are fallen angels. We're talking about this spirit is in men. Because Paul says, you know, remember, Satan transforms himself as an angel of light. And his ministers transform themselves as the ministers of righteousness.
Yes, sir.
The people out here and all, whose major thrust of their message is, here's what's right to do and here's what's wrong to do, they're Satan's messengers. You know that?
Exactly.
Because they're preaching salvation by what you do or don't do.
Exactly.
Now, what you do or don't do is important.
Yeah.
And men reap what they sow.
Yes, sir.
But there's one thing, truth, an old preacher said years ago, you don't plant in one field and reap in another.
Yeah.
You reap in the field you plant in. And our works deal, even God's people, our works deal with us now. But God's people have already been judged for their works. In Christ.
Yes.
The reprobate one day will be judged according to their works.
Right.
Let's move on. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let. That means to hold back, to hinder. Until he be taken out of the way. This is why I believe that there's nothing wrong with saying it is the Spirit of God.
Mm-hmm.
And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of His mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of His coming. Now note, there has to be some time frame in here, doesn't it?
Yeah.
This person's going to show up. This individual, this man of sin. See, I'm almost going verse by verse, but that'll be okay. I won't have to go back to it later. Here is this man of sin that will come on the scene when God quits withholding. He's going to burst on the scene, okay? But now Christ is going to consume him with the spirit of his with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy him with the brightness of his coming. This is not going to be, he's going to pop up, there he is, all of a sudden Jesus comes, and it's all over with, Joe.
Yeah.
Now, I see it don't happen like that. As a matter of fact, there are 7 years in which this man comes upon the scene. And at the end of that 7 years, Christ will then destroy him. Somebody said, well, that's another coming. No, it's all the second coming. Just like there were many things to do with Christ's first coming. Many aspects to it, many parts of it. But it was all one coming, Joe.
Exactly.
And so is Christ's second coming. But then look, even him, whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all powers and signs and lying wonders. This individual will be able to perform miracles.
Yeah.
And you know what? Falsehood, error, and heretics have been performing miracles for years.
Yes, sir.
You remember Moses, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
You remember there were a couple men that withstood Moses? What did they do? Moses had a stick. And he cast that stick down, and what happened to it? Turned into a snake, didn't it?
Yep.
Do I believe that? Yeah, I believe that. But what does it say about those two magicians? They did the same thing. They had sticks too. They cast those sticks down. What happened to those sticks? They became snakes.
Yeah.
Somebody says, you really believe that happened? Yeah, I really believe that happened.
Yeah.
And let me tell you something. God has ordained that the satanic forces have power. Just because somebody can perform a miracle don't mean whatever they say is true.
Right.
Here's what determines whether what they're saying is true or not.
Right.
This book right here. That's why dreams and visions are not as dependable as the book. And Peter says that.
Yeah.
Peter says, I had a vision on that mount. I seen Christ glorified. And I seen Moses and Elijah. But he says, we have a more sure word of prophecy than that.
Yes, sir.
Holy men, moved of God, spake. He's always talking about? Talking about the scriptures. Mason, this is what's dependable.
Yeah.
The scriptures. Now let's move on. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all powers and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Why? Now look at it. I mentioned. Now let's go back. Because we may have lost. I know I've went about this the long way. I mentioned that just believing is not enough. And just believing the truth is not necessarily enough. Oh, I believe the truth. The devils know that.
Yep. Exactly.
You know, the devils know that. Look at what it says. Because they receive not the love of the truth. You see, when God regenerates and converts a person, they begin to love the truth.
Yes,
they don't just believe it. They believe it, yes.
Oh, yeah.
There are thousands of Baptists and Presbyterians that believe the truth. But they don't love the truth. They can take it or leave it. It doesn't matter. It's kind of part of our history, man. You know, it's part of our history. It doesn't really matter. You see, when you love something, what do? You spend time on it. You spend money on it. You think about it. You dote on it. You give your heart and mind and soul to it, don't you? No, their problem. Now, this is speaking of the negative. They receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. And when it says A, there is no article A in the Greek. And actually in the Greek here, it's supposed to be the. It's the lie of this son of perdition.
Yeah.
They're going to believe him. Now, they wouldn't believe God and love his truth. But they'll believe this man. Why? Because God's going to make them believe him.
Yes, sir.
To damn them. Isn't that what it says?
Yeah.
That they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. Now, that is an event that's yet to take place. But let me tell you, God, even now, hardens whom he will.
Exactly.
God's not going to start doing that one day. Now, this has not taken place yet. But God's still doing it even now.
That's it.
Because doesn't Romans 9 say that? God says, I'll have mercy on whom I'll have mercy. And I thank God for that. There are people who don't like that. But I'm glad God, if God purposed to show mercy to me, bless God, I'm going to have it. Well, that's the only way I can get it for sure. If I had to gain it, I could lose it.
Exactly.
But if God sovereignly says, I will have mercy on that soul, what's God going to do? He's going to have mercy on that soul, and you nor I nor the devils in hell can stop him.
Exactly.
He's God. That's why we call him God. You know, because he doeth according to his will. But it does, and to be true to God, I have to give the rest of that. Yes, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. And I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then, as Paul says, it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. But it goes on to say in verse 18, when it talks about Pharaoh, I raised Pharaoh up for the very purpose. Look at Pharaoh's end. That's what God meant to happen to Pharaoh.
Yes, sir.
And what did it say? Look at it, verse 18. Therefore hath he mercy on whom will have mercy. That's true.
Oh, yeah.
But what else does it say? And whom he will. He hardeneth.
Amen.
I used to preach even when I knew the truth. Well, God don't do that. He lets the devil do that.
Yeah.
Is that what that says? It's the same God who shows mercy is the same God who hardens.
Yes, sir.
You see? God hardens men's hearts that they would believe the lie. Just like he metaphored. Now, the whole word harden is a metaphor. You know what I'm saying? It's not talking about the muscle that pumps the blood. It's talking about the immaterial man, that which we really are inside. And God could harden a heart, but Joey can also soften a heart.
Yes, sir.
Now, I believe he gives a new heart. I don't believe he works on the old heart. But the metaphor is used in Scripture. God said, I'll take the stony heart out of you. I'll give you a heart of flesh.
Yeah.
That's what God does when he shows mercy. But when God hardens, he hardens.
Yes, sir.
And it's true, Joe, you preached on it here a while back, that those who have not, God can take away even that they have.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Penny and I talked about this morning. There are people that's been in this very group, that the way they conduct themselves today, the way they live today, okay, I mean, the things that I thought, I would have never thought them capable of doing that.
Yeah.
You know, to put up with some of the things they put up with. I'm talking about people that's been close to us. Okay? I can give details, but I'm not going to give names. It doesn't matter. That's not the point. I'm not here to try to embarrass someone. I'm simply saying, here's a person who made a profession to believe and love the truth of God, and they turned their back on it, and what? They didn't have nothing.
Exactly.
But what did God do? He took away even what they had. They even begin to lose common sense.
Yeah.
Decency. You know? They'll end up marrying... See, I'm not going to tell on somebody if I ain't careful. Trash! People who hate God and could care less. Why? Because God hardens hearts.
Yes, sir, he
does. Now see, we're bad enough if God just left us on our own.
Yeah.
He wouldn't have to do anything to us. We're already hard of heart.
Exactly.
But God hardens. And that word in the Greek is, it's a continual, ongoing problem. We're born with hard hearts.
Yeah.
Aren't we? But God can harden even the hard heart.
Exactly.
And see, that's why men make statements, preachers make statements like, don't play games with God. Because no one will get away with it.
Exactly.
Now, because God's judgment and wrath doesn't immediately fall upon men's heads, their hearts are continually set to do evil. But one day, he will.
Yes,
one day he'll judge. And you know who men's going to stand before? Jesus Christ.
Exactly.
They'll be standing in front of a man, Joe.
Mm-hmm. You know that?
In front of that man, Jesus Christ. Well, let's move on. That they all might be damned who believe not the truth but have pleasure in unrighteousness. And oh, that is such a... for me, it fails for what? It's such a depressing thing.
Yeah.
In one respect, right? It's kind of depressing, isn't it? But it's who God is. But look, he didn't leave us there, David. But, oh, that small but mighty conjunction.
Exactly.
Huh? But, we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation, not just through belief of the truth. You say you believe the truth, you better believe the truth through being set apart by the Spirit first.
Yes, sir.
Because it's through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth.
Wherein
too, he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. I just want to point it again. It's not enough just to say, well, I believe that. I believe those things. I believe what you believe. Well, I believe something's wrong, I'm sure. That ain't gonna do you no good. Do you believe the truth? And do you believe the truth having been set apart by the Spirit of God? And the Scripture calls that calling. And we are encouraged to make your calling and election sure. Because I don't care how much you believe the truth, if you haven't been called of God, you'll die and go to hell. You got to believe the truth having been set apart by the Spirit of God. Somebody says, how do you know that's for sure about you? That's between me and God. You know that? That's between me and God. And your situation is between you and God. It ain't up for me to determine for you whether you're all right or not. That's dangerous ground to stand on.
Yeah.
Paul says, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Look at yourself.
Yeah.
Now, let me tell you, when you look at yourself, you better be careful. You need to look at ourselves. We got to look at ourselves, but you better be careful when you look at yourself. Because if you really see yourself, you know what you're going to see? You. But if you're being called, here's one of the ways you can have some reason to believe you've been called of God. When you look at yourself, what do you see? You see yourself. You see what you really are, at least to some degree. And it forces you to do what? Look to Christ. Forces you to. I've got nowhere else. Everywhere I turn, even to myself, is nothing but judgment and wrath and fault and sin and rebellion. I look to Christ. And I love to look to Christ.
Yes, sir.
It's not a duty. It's not a chore. It's not a heavy... Christ said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you what? Rest. Take my yoke upon you. Yes, there is a servitude.
Yes,
you're going to become like an animal, a beast of labor. God's going to put His yoke on you. But He said, my yoke is easy. And my burden is light. If you don't like being a Christian, you're not one.
Exactly.
That's just simple as it is. Well, I got to do this. This is the way we're supposed to do it. Well, you might as well just not do it then.
That's right.
You know what? Because sin's not just what you do. It's what you think. It's what you are. You know? Out of the heart comes these evil things.
Yeah.
No, but let me say, these people that's beloved of the Lord, when Christ comes again, if they've died in Him, He'll bring them with Him. And He'll raise them up first. If they're still alive, if they're remaining, they're the only ones that's truly alive, Joe, like you was talking about. They're truly the ones that are alive. And when He comes back, there are those who are alive and remain. They're going to be caught up. They're going to be changed. It doesn't tell us that in 1 Thessalonians 4. But we know that's a part of it by 1 Corinthians 15. That we'll all be changed. The resurrected is going to be changed. That body is going to be raised, but it's not going to be the same body. See, isn't that what the Scripture teaches?
Yes,
it's going to be raised an incorruptible, an immortal body. And then we, whoever's a born-again believer that are still alive at that time, they're going to be changed, and then both will what? Be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. How long? Now the change is going to be like that. How long it takes us to go up, I don't care. Once we're on the way, it ain't going to matter. No, really. I'm serious. And we may laugh, and it may sound like I'm being flippant, but I'm not meaning to be flippant. It doesn't matter if it takes me 100 years to get there, Joe. If you're on your way, you're on your way. Now, it won't take that long. Within 7 years, Christ is going to touch the earth.
Exactly.
So it's got to take place within 7 years, don't it?
Yep.
Because 7 years later, it says He's going to touch the earth.
Yes, sir.
Where does it say that? Right here in this book.
Yep.
It's called The 7 Years of Jacob's Trouble. And it is when God will then again turn to the Jews.
Yes, sir.
Why? Because His book says so.
Yeah.
It says so. Why? Because God's going to save some of them. He's chose some of them. That's why. And they as a nation, will be saved. Those believing Jews in that day, David, will constitute Israel.
Yes, sir.
They'll be the nation. And Israel will be a believing nation in that day. Now they're going to go, let me put it this way. They're going to go through a living hell to get there. Because God's going to put them through it. But they're going to get there. Because according to Romans 11, the gifts and the calling of God are without change. The word's repentance there. It's okay, but it's not God repenting. It is God said, I'm going to do this for the Jews. He ain't done it yet for the Jews. Not as a nation, has He? No, the elect among the nation, but not as a nation. The elect have believed. Now the elect will one day believe, but they will constitute the nation at that time.
Yes, sir.
they will be saved. Somebody say there's some of the elect going to go through that time? Yes, some of the elect will. But if you've been regenerated and converted before that day, you'll go up with Christ. That's what this teaches. If you've heard the truth before, and you don't love the truth, when that day happens, you won't believe the truth. You will be given strong delusion, and you'll believe the lie. Isn't that what the book teaches as well?
Yes, sir.
That's what it teaches. So we see this truth is further detailed. And let me summarize. I started early. It's time for me to wind it up. Look, last few verses. For the Lord himself. And Paul, you see, he could have just said, for the Lord shall descend from heaven. Couldn't he? It would have been the same thing.
Yeah.
But he's emphasizing that it's personally Jesus Christ coming back.
Yes, sir.
Because didn't he say to the disciples, if I go away, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also? This is him. This will be him fulfilling that promise to his people. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. Just one. That's why there's some people who believe that this event's going to take place at the last trump, because 1 Corinthians 15 says the last trump, right? They think it's going to be there, but this says it's what? With the trump of God.
Yes, sir.
And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain. Not just remain. There's going to be a lot of people remaining when that takes place.
Yeah, exactly.
But they're not going to be alive. They're going to be the walking dead. You know. In other words, they'll be physically alive, but spiritually dead. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together. That's with the raised ones, the resurrected ones. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And then he says, comfort one another with these things.
Mm-hmm.
So if some folks don't want to talk about it, that's their problem. They're missing out on the comfort.
Exactly.
Right? That's their problem.
Yeah.
My responsibility is not that I don't care about other folks. I've said this before and been misunderstood, and I know that'll continue to be. It's not that I don't care about other folks. My responsibility is for you. It's not my responsibility to go out to another local assembly and try to teach them and make them believe these things. Now, it doesn't mean it's wrong for me to go out and preach it, but my responsibility is to teach this group. Now, I'm not a landmarker. You know what I mean by that? I'm not a landmark. I don't believe that the church is manifest only in a local assembly.
Yeah.
Okay? But I do believe the church is manifest in a local assembly.
Yes, sir.
And that's God's ordained way, is to be a part of a local assembly. And that's where your loyalties lie.
Yeah.
You see, and that's not that you don't help other people, Joe. It's not that you don't pray for other people. It's not that they're not our brothers and sisters in Christ. But this is the family of God on earth that God placed me with. This group right here. And Joe, I'm going to use the passage you back. When I live, I don't live to myself. What I say and do affects you as well. How I live affects you. It there's a word and I can't get the word. Somebody help me. It affects you. When I die, I don't die to myself, do we? We don't die to ourselves. And oh, I think it was, I forget, I don't know who said it, but you probably heard of it, no man is an island.
Yeah.
And that's true. And another person said, every man's death diminishes me.
Yeah.
Because I'm a part of every man. I'm fallen just like everybody else is. I'm not better because I'm a preacher. I told Penny today on the way up here, some of you knew how I acted, and I'm not talking about immoral stuff. I don't mean that. I'm just talking about how silly I act sometimes and frivolous I carry on. You probably wouldn't listen to a word I say. And she said, well, I don't listen to you anyway. Except when you preach. And I said, well, I need to get me a pulpit at the house. But it's true. It's true. You see, you don't listen to me because it's what I... If I tell you what I think, you can take it or leave it.
Exactly.
And you probably ought to leave it. But I don't care who the man is. If he's telling you the word of God, you better take it.
That's it.
Bow down to it. Believe it. If you can, love it.
Yeah.
Love it. If you can. Father, I pray for us, faulty, sinful, all too rebellious at times. And yet, you've been pleased, as far as we can see, from thy word and the evidences you've been pleased to show us mercy. And we thank you and honor you and are grateful for it. We thank you in Christ's name. Amen.